And I'm walking here!
Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through the coronavirus crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers out there like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have an hour left to do it. Thurston County is now requiring masks, but there's a little bit more to the story. Seattle bans tennis for some reasons. Matt Calkins over at the Seattle Times is going to stop by a little after 5:15 with that. Plus, Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer is going to stop by to discuss Inslee's unrealistic guidelines to reopen. This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So, starting on Thursday, which is today, people are now required to wear masks in public in Thurston County. It's being said it is required. They are now moving into phase number two of the state's reopening plan. The acting health officer there, Diana Yu, Dr. Yu, issued this directive yesterday and said, look, we're opening our hair and nail salons, our retail shops are opening, our restaurants are being allowed to reopen, but there are going to be some restrictions and we need you to wear your masks. Now, a lot of folks hit me up on Twitter yesterday telling me to look into this. And I have to say, this is not enough for you to go nuts over. They are saying it is a requirement. It is an unenforced requirement. Okay? When they say it's required, they don't actually mean required. Now, I think you should for sure listen to the businesses that want you to wear a mask. A business has the right to do that. And as a conservative, we should be okay with that. You may disagree with it, and you don't have to shop there. I understand why people get upset when the government is trying to get you to wear a mask. Especially because over the course of the last several weeks, we've got different messaging on masks coming from different people. However, it's not going to be enforced. They say they're not going to enforce it. They might ask you to wear it. They might give it as sort of an educatable moment, a learning opportunity to tell you about the benefits of the mask. They are not forcing you to do it. There is this weird political battle that is brewing over masks. I understand it. And I think it has to come, it comes from two things. Number one, the ideological issue that we've been talking about on the show for a while now. On the one hand, you have an ideological position on the right that says we are responsible adults. You can give us the information and we will do with it what we think is right for ourselves, our family, our friends, our community. We're not idiots. We don't need you to babysit us. That is a general perspective on the right. Now, on the left, a general perspective is the government should have a bigger say in your life, that there should be more regulation, that you can't just simply be left alone to your own personal responsibility because sometimes people don't abide by those rules. Now, clearly, I side with the right, but there can be merits to both sides in certain situations. I don't necessarily agree that it's the right thing here, but at least I understand it. So that's number one. That's why there is this natural tension between the left and the right on this. The other thing is, and we talked about this either yesterday or the day before, there's a New York Times piece out this week that you should check out. It's very, very interesting. It's about how blue cities and blue states are worse off as a result of the coronavirus than red states and red cities. Where Democrats live, they've been hit very, very hard with the coronavirus and the after effect. The folks who live in red areas, where the Republicans live, they have not been hit hard. And so when you're having this big picture conversation about, I don't know, Sultan, which happens to be a city that's more conservative than not, and you're saying to someone in Sultan maybe, hey, you need to wear a mask. They're going to push back because they're saying to themselves, the numbers here are nothing like, say, Seattle, where the hardcore progressives live. If you want to do that, do it in Seattle. It doesn't make sense here. So that's where this tension is coming from. But again, I don't think this is the battle right now. I don't think this is the battle to have, especially because they are not mandating it. And I'm looking at the literal order. Now, there are some exceptions to it. I thought we would play a little game. Because when the Republicans say, hey, maybe we ought to reopen the economy a little bit faster, what do we hear from Governor Jay Inslee? You want old people dead. Okay, let's play a game and use that dopey logic here. Because in Thurston County, they've got a whole long list of exceptions to people who don't actually have to wear the masks. So let's use Governor Jay Inslee's logic as a lens to view these exceptions through. Here's one. Any child aged 4 to 12 years old, unless parents and caregivers supervise the use of face coverings by children to avoid misuse. So any kid 4 to 12 doesn't have to wear it unless they've got a parent or guardian. They must want kids to die. They must want kids to get the coronavirus.
As long as 60-year-olds stay safe, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about them. That's what Jay Inslee believes. That's his logic. Anyone who is deaf and uses facial and mouth movements as part of communication don't have to wear a mask. So, wow. Thurston County health officials and probably the governor? They don't care about deaf people getting the coronavirus. That's despicable.
What about deaf people over 60?
Only the old part of them gets a pass.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone who has any type of disability that prevents them from comfortably wearing or removing a face covering, you don't have to wear it. So someone who's with a disability, you're telling them their lives don't matter. Got it. See how absurd that logic is? It is absurd. Let's find out what else is trending. Right about
what's
now.
Trending? The economy.
So Snohomish County is hoping to reopen faster. We heard from Nate Nehring, who is the chair of the Snohomish County Council. He was on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. If you didn't listen to it, please check it out on the Facebook or on our podcast. Really, really informative interview. Here in King County, not really hearing from a lot of folks. Certainly not in positions of power. In Pierce County, you're hearing from Bruce Stammeyer, who's going to be on the show in about 20 minutes, wanting to reopen the economy. And with the exception of the feeling I get in Seattle, I'm getting a sense from where you guys live, from where you guys work or used to, you want to reopen this economy, that you're ready to reopen the economy, that you're feeling like right now is the time where we've got enough data, we've got enough science to justify responsibly opening our economy. Because you understand the actual data is 90% of the coronavirus deaths are Washingtonians over the age of 60. You know that of that number, half of the deaths are over the age of 80. You know that 60% of all deaths in Washington state occurred in elder care facilities. That's data that should inform our policy on the coronavirus. And here's the actual science. We know that the most vulnerable population to the coronavirus are older people over the age of 60. It's also incredibly dangerous when someone's dealing with a pre-existing health condition. Now, Jay Inslee doesn't want us to have this conversation, but I think we're going to have it anyway. Because we're hearing from people on both sides of the aisle, all across Washington state, saying we have the data that will allow us to help save lives while saving our economy. So I have a plan to reopen Washington's economy. Little old talk show host. Since we know that the majority of the deaths are occurring in elder care facilities, how about this? We double down or triple down on protecting those sites. We continue with strict isolation. We continue with safety protocols because the lives of senior citizens who are living in these facilities, they are important. We need to protect them. I would love it if we can work with local tech companies like Amazon or Microsoft and get these facilities the technology they need to help them feel connected to their families and their friends. I don't want them feeling isolated. I want them to be able to see their grandkids digitally as often as possible until they can actually see them in person. This is temporary. We're going to have a vaccine, and we are going to survive this. If you're healthy and under the age of 60, you should be able to return to work as soon as your place of business, wherever it is you work, has just some basic set of guidelines in place to operate safely. We know that that can mean a whole different bunch of things. Wearing a mask, maybe. Wearing gloves. Getting your temperature checked. Making sure you're cleaning and wiping down surfaces as much as possible. limiting the amount of people that are allowed in the space at once. We know that that can mitigate the chances of the spread. We know that a healthy 27-year-old is unlikely to die from the coronavirus. When you look at the numbers of deaths in the 20 to 39 age range, they represent 1% of the deaths. And those 1%, I'm guaranteeing you, if you got into it, it actually has something to do with an underlying health condition. Now, of course, we don't want these people to get the coronavirus, although I would argue with a virus like this, that it's as contagious as this, you're going to get it. If you get it, you have a 99% chance of survival. So when we get back to work, let's do these mitigating efforts. If you follow a set of reasonable rules, businesses can reopen. It is not inherently unsafe to go get your hair cut or to get your nails done. It's not dangerous inherently to go to church and pray. You're not going to die the second you step foot in a gym and hop on a treadmill. How do I know that? Because you're not dying going to a grocery store right now. And Inslee allows that. He's got some guidance in place, but very little. If you can go to a Costco or a Whole Foods or a Safeway, if you can work on a publicly funded construction project, if you can visit a Planned Parenthood, if you can go to a pot shop, if you can go to a liquor store, you can get your legs waxed. You can get your hair cut. You can get your back massaged. You can get your taxes reviewed in person. You can get your car serviced or cleaned. You can get your dog groomed. I think you can do that safely. Now, here's the deal. If you don't feel safe going back to work, either because you're in that demographic, someone who has an underlying health condition, or maybe you're 60 years old and you're like, that just doesn't make sense for me. It's not safe. Or maybe you just flatly feel uncomfortable. You don't have to. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to go get your hair cut. You can stay at home. It's okay. I think we should give unemployment if you can't actually work from home. Hopefully, Inslee can get ESD figured out, the Employment Security Department figured out. Fix that department. So we can get money out to folks who need it on unemployment. And now that more people are back to work, guess what? There's less of a burden on ESD. More money can go to actual Washingtonians instead of a Nigerian crime ring. You shouldn't be forced to go back to work during a pandemic, even if the business is being responsible. Now, this is not an excuse not to work. If your job can actually be performed at home, you're going to be working from home. This is bipartisan, this idea. Yesterday on the show, we talked with Cassie Franklin, mayor of Everett, Democrat. She doesn't hide the fact that she's a Democrat. And by the way, kudos for a Democrat coming on the show and actually talking to a conservative. She came on and she said things that were almost identical to the Republicans that we heard from. She said, I think we can reopen and protect health and safety and community. And I think we can focus on economic recovery. And those things are not in conflict. The fact that I care about business does not mean I don't care about people. And the fact I care about people doesn't mean I don't care about business. I care about both and I'll continue to advocate for both. That sounds a heck of a lot similar to what we've heard from Republicans on the show. Russell Wita, mayor of Sultan, was on a few weeks ago. I think we can take steps to reopen responsibly and also keep our people safe. They're saying the same thing. Nate Nearing on the show earlier, saying the exact same thing. Snohomish Mayor John Kartak. Kent Mayor Dana Ralph. Kent Council members Andrea Michaud. They're on the show and they're all saying exactly the same thing, which is we've got the data. We want to protect life. And we also want to make sure that we're protecting businesses. This is not political. It's not political. So why is it being treated politically? Why is Inslee going after Republicans on wanting to reopen the economy when we're hearing the same exact message from the Democrats? Why is he only going after Republicans? I get the sense, and I know you guys too, that it's time to reopen. If you want to help me shine a spotlight on this, text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'm going to send you my link with my plan to reopen the economy. We need to shine a spotlight on this. What we know about this governor is that he acts cowardly when he's making these political decisions. He needs to be shouted at. And by shouted at, I mean tweet out my story and Facebook. You don't have to actually shout at him. Although, well, no, don't. Right? No. We're not that show.
I mean, where are you going to get face-to-face to shout at him?
That's fair. I mean, I shout at him from the studio.
But nobody else has that capability.
Yeah. And sometimes I just shout at him that my microphone isn't even on. Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Golfing courses are back in operation with guidance saying that they're actually safe. But as my next guest found out, bizarrely, tennis courts are still closed, which is despite guidance allowing them to be open. It's a topic in the current column from Matt Calkins over at the Seattle Times. He joins me now. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you having me on.
So I thought tennis courts could actually operate. Take us through what exactly is their status.
Well, in Seattle, they are officially closed. This is after I talked to the Seattle Office of Emergency Management. They said, despite Inslee opening up statewide, Seattle is still assessing the situation. There is no timeline when courts will open, but tennis is finding a way. People are knocking locks off. They're jumping fences. I found a couple people playing tennis. I refuse to say where they were playing because I don't want to be the guy that outs them. I even got an email just a few minutes ago from a guy that said that at a local high school, there were hundreds of people lined up to play, and the wait time to get on was about 6 hours.
Jeez.
I don't know if I quite believe that, but I don't know. People are going stir crazy, so you never know.
All these tennis scofflaws. Why did Seattle take the position that they took?
I don't know. I mean, someone mentioned to me that, you know, golf is a source of revenue for the city, so they probably wanted to step up and try to get more money and figure, you know, it's social distancing. And with tennis, you have the potential with doubles play that people are interacting more closely with each other. I think there was some concern that you touch the ball in tennis. But after talking to an epidemiologist, she's basically saying as long as you don't touch your face, you're fine. And what someone else suggested, the chairman of the U.S. of the United States Tennis Association, was like, if you really want to be extra cautious, just mark your balls.
Yeah.
And that way you only touch the balls that you marked, your opponent only touches the ball that he or she marked, and you're safe. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think most people are going, we can be responsible. This is one of the safest form of exercise. You know, let's get this going.
Well, it's especially bizarre because even if you're playing doubles, I don't know if people realize who are talking about tennis, you're not usually within 6 feet of each other on a tennis court. The way that you are, you basically have to be separated or you're going to lose very quickly.
Right, exactly. You have one person on the baseline. You have one person up at the net. I guess the two people that are up at the net, you could theoretically say are within 6 feet, but we're pushing a little bit. I understand the precaution that people want to take, but tennis to me is something that, based on people I talk to, based on the health risks, is something that I think the rewards outweigh the risks. And one thing I propose, all right, if we really want to be careful, we can just open up courts, but take the nets off of every other court. That way, you know, if a wayward ball goes over to the other side, you don't have people running over to the other court. I still think that might be a little unnecessary because usually if a wayward ball comes, you just hit it back to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I'm willing to compromise, and I think a lot of other people are too.
Matt Calkins joining me on the line, columnist with the Seattle Times. We're talking about the fact that at least in the Seattle area, they're not allowing for tennis to resume despite guidance coming from the governor's office saying that you can, in fact, safely do this. Yet when you go to a park, and you bring this up in your column this week, that you see people playing frisbee at the park, which is
right. Is
clearly, if we're taking the position, an absurd position, that touching a golf ball, or excuse me, a tennis ball is unsafe, well then touching a frisbee is just as unsafe.
If not more unsafe, because you know, you can mark your ball on tennis. It's the exact same thing in terms of risk, though. You throw a football, throw a baseball, throw a frisbee, and if you touch your face, you're just as likely as you you know, to contract the virus as you would with the tennis court. I mean, obviously, I think it's the doubles thing that people are potentially worried about. But
okay, then no play doubles.
Still keeping,
I mean, it's so simple.
That's what I'm saying. Just play singles. And I think this might be counterproductive. You know, when, I was talking to, you know, Benji Backer. I was talking to him. He was one of the guys that I quoted, and his friend was saying that there was a big line outside of this court when the weather was nice a couple weeks ago. I got this guy emailing me saying there was hundreds of people to play. I'm kind of thinking that this is counterproductive to people's safety. You open up all the courts, and they're going to have lots of options. You're not going to have these huge clusters. It's sort of like tennis is sort of like a modern day speakeasy in Seattle. Where you got to find a court and everybody, you know, flocks to it. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that before, but the fact that you can only find a few courts to play may actually discourage social distancing.
Well, it's an interesting piece. It's up at the Seattle Times website right now, seattletimes.com. Check out the column by Matt Colgan. The fact of the matter is, the more people put a spotlight on this inconsistency and just really stupid rule, maybe we can get it changed quicker. So if you want to bring back tennis in the Seattle area, please make sure you don't just read the story by Matt Colgan's, but you also post it on your Facebook wall, your Twitter feed, so we can get some eyes on it. Matt, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. It's always fun to be on with you, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. More coverage when we come back right here on KTTH. Jason Rand Show live on this Thursday afternoon. It's time to safely and responsibly reopen this economy. This is not a Republican message. It's not a Democratic message. It's a message that's coming from Washingtonians of all political backgrounds. And it's a message that's coming from leaders who realize this phase two guidance is not reasonable. For Snohomish King in Pierce Counties. Earlier we spoke on the line with Snohomish County Council Chair Nate Nehring. Now we're going to talk with Pierce County Executive Bruce Stammeyer. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be with you.
So why aren't the guidelines as posited so far in phase two? Why are they not tenable?
Well, I think the first one is that the testing, the number of positive cases that the governor proposes in the current standard aren't realistic if you consider kind of long-term and congregate care settings where our most vulnerable are, and we have to have specific strategies to keep them safe. But it's really not fair to characterize all of Pierce County to keep 900,000 people in phase one when there's about 4,000 people in long-term care facilities.
Have you guys done the math to find out what percentage of folks in Pierce County are specifically represented in these you know, sad numbers of deaths of Washingtonians? We know that 60% of the deaths in Washington as a whole happened in these elder care facilities. Do you have anything specific in Pierce?
Yeah, the most recent numbers I have that about 61% of our deaths are sadly in these kind of facilities. That's where we've got a lot of people who are very, very, very vulnerable. You know, yesterday we lost a 90-year-old woman. In that, and today we lost a man in a long-term care facility. So about 61% of our fatalities are in that setting, and somewhere over 25% of our more recent cases are in those facilities. Mm-hmm.
So the data and the science are pretty clear as to which demographics are most at risk, and you're saying that we should be basically coming up with a policy that takes that into account. So where is the disconnect between your position here and the governor, who says all of his positions are based in science and data?
Well, we've been making the case, and most recently, this is the second time I've made the case to the governor's office, that Pierce County is ready to go to phase two. We have increased our testing. We've got drive-through testing. We've got Walgreens testing. We've got aggressive testing in our long-term care facilities and our homeless shelters. And despite that increase in dramatic testing, our numbers have gone down sharply. Our rolling 7-day average of new cases has dropped almost 2/3 in the last 2 weeks or so. Now it may be, so we're still bouncing a little bit between kind of 3 and 16, but it's dropped down significantly in the last 2 weeks. And the people of Pierce County have responded. They've been responsible. They are ready to move forward. And that's the case that we made to the governor. that we've got over a million masks and another million on the way that Pierce County has bought and is ready to give out to support our small business owners, our nonprofits, our churches, so they can to help them safely reopen. And that's what this is about. The people of Pierce County are doing a good job. They are ready to responsibly and safely move to phase two.
So what does the governor's office say then when you present that? We heard earlier on in the show, Nate Nearing, Snohomish County Council Chair, said behind the scenes they've been making the same case, and Snohomish hasn't gotten anywhere to the point where now they're calling it out publicly.
Well, I do think that, to give the governor a little bit of credit, a lot of the points that we have made, I have seen them respond to. We were arguing hard for the resumption of construction. I wish it would have happened. I don't think it ever should have been shut down. But we argued hard for the resumption of construction, and that came about. We argued hard that we shouldn't treat the state as one monolith, that particularly as you restart, that you've got to look at things at the county level, and that started happening. So I'm hopeful, and I really appreciate the support of Snohomish, and we want to support them because we are sending almost exactly the same message, that both of our counties are in a position now where the disease has been beaten back enough that our county and our community as a whole should be allowed to go to phase two safely and responsibly.
Just joining us, we're talking with Bruce Stammeyer. He's the Pierce County executive. He is hoping to move into phase number two for Pierce County faster than the current guidance would allow. You know, the whole idea of this regional approach, I think, originally was the right one. It wasn't originally what the governor was doing, but he moved into it, where now he's saying, look, if you're in certain counties, according to the guidance, you can move in a little bit faster. And I'm wondering, when we're looking at a county like Pierce, where you've got almost a million people, should it be even more micro than just saying a county? I mean, should Tacoma be treated the same as Eatonville? Should Ording and Bonnie Lake be treated the same as Lakewood?
So I think those are good questions, particularly in a county like Pierce County, where it is very urban in parts and very rural and mountainous in other parts. But I do think we're at the position now where all of Pierce County should be allowed to move forward. I think all of Pierce County is ready to move forward. So, and it is interesting because right now, if you look at the cases of COVID in our community per 100,000, right, we're at half of the infection rate of Snohomish and King County. That's because I think we acted quickly, we acted smartly, and the people of Pierce County stepped up. So at this point, I'm really ready for all of Pierce County to move to phase two. I think we can make a compelling case. We're going to do that. We are going to follow suit with Snohomish. We've been arguing before that we should go on June 1st, but we're going to be prepared to make the case in writing to the governor's office publicly that Pierce County, the people of Pierce County are ready to go to phase two.
Good. I hope you do that, because the one trend that we have seen with this governor is when you call him out publicly, there's enough pushback to some of his policies, he does tend to listen. Now, I don't think that's the best way to lead. I think he should be a little bit more proactive in it. But certainly we've seen situations in which once people put the public pressure on him, he doesn't want to be seen as the guy who says no. So I wish you guys obviously the best of luck in that. How much of what you're doing here is being pushed by the feeling on the ground that folks, whether it's in Parkland or Spanaway or Tacoma, are just going to stop following the rules and just reopen? Because I'm getting the sense that people are just ready, and I'm hoping that they don't just reopen on their own, because then it can be dangerous, then it can be, you know, in a disorderly way. But is that fueling any of your feelings?
So, you know, in Pierce County, people have been very responsible. I haven't seen any kind of there's no Miami Beach action down here in Pierce County. But I will tell you, you know, we've got over 100,000 people that are unemployed at a cost of this fighting this virus. And I am very concerned that we've got small businesses, that we've got families that are hanging on by their fingernails, and that if we take an extra week or an extra 2 weeks before we start giving them the chance to get back to work, that could, it could do irreparable damage to that business, to that family. They may be years or may never recover from it.
So you're saying just a week or two could be too far gone for a lot of these businesses.
Absolutely. If you talk to restaurants today, mm-hmm. they are at the point of desperation. I have talked to a number of our restaurateurs and folks who represent them, and I know that they are right on the edge, and some of them are feeling almost panicky that they have to find a way to reopen, or they won't be able to operate. They'll be gone for good. And there's a lot of jobs that go with that, not just restaurants, but everything. I want. And again, this is all about moving to phase two. This is not going to phase four. This is not partying in the streets. This is going to phase two and allowing our businesses. I firmly believe that if we explain to the people of Pierce County and the businesses of Pierce County, and the churches of Pierce County and the nonprofits of Pierce County, if you explain to them what the issues are and you provide them the support and guidance in developing their reopening plan to help them do that, and if we provide them some of the key supplies like masks, you know, those business owners, they want to take care of their employees, their customers, and their community. Just like the people of Pierce County, if you tell them, give them medically accurate information on this virus, they're going to take the right action to protect themselves, their family, and their community. You can trust people to do the right thing if you give them good information.
Agreed. And there's not many people out there who don't have the good information, because whether it's on this show or anywhere else, it's out there. And we've been hammering that good information home. Obviously, we wish you the best of luck in reopening Pierce County. This is not a partisan issue. This is a bipartisan issue. Bruce Stammeyer might be a Republican, but that's not what matters here. We're hearing from Democrats, Republicans, and everything in between, saying now is the time to reopen. Bruce Stammeyer, Pierce County Executive, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jason. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. When we come back, we've got a Republican challenger to the Democrat in Whatcom County who's been kind of MIA on reopening the economy. Jennifer Sefzik is going to stop by when we return right here on KTTH. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Whatcom County seems ready for phase two, but unfortunately, Democrats are standing in the way. Not just Jay Inslee, but also State Representative Sharon Shoemake, who seems MIA during all of this. Luckily, she has a Republican challenger in Washington's 42nd District. Her name is Jennifer Sefzik, and she joins me now. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jason. Glad to be with you today.
So you are going to make the case that you are better suited to represent this district at a time of a pandemic. Tell us why.
Well, I think it's clear that the supermajority party is out of its box as far as the space that it needs to fill in our lives. Government has gotten too big, and it's interfering with our basic livelihoods right now, and we need it to shrink back and to have our liberties restored and our opportunity to pursue our business and livelihoods.
What is the governor not understanding about what it's like to live and do business in Whatcom County?
He seems to have a complete disconnect that people need to work to make money, to put food on their tables, and that is his greatest source of revenue. And people want to work. I hang out with people who actually like to work and be productive and contribute to our society.
And what are people saying right now as you're going out and you're meeting them digitally, I suppose, or you're connecting with mm-hmm. them on Facebook and Twitter? What are they saying?
You know, people are saying that we were all in this together. We were all willing to do what we needed to do to flatten the curve. We kind of saw the need to do that. But now we're so far beyond that, that we've done what we're supposed to. They've moved the goalposts. And now people are saying, okay, the most vulnerable in our society right now are actually small businesses, and they want to get back to work. People have had enough.
Well, the governor will say that anyone who wants to reopen the economy, whether we say it's safely and responsibly reopened, it doesn't matter. He says, you want to see, we want to see people over the age of 60 die. What is your response to that?
Oh, we don't want to see anybody over the age of 60 die unnecessarily. We don't have to shut down the entire economy to be able to protect people who are vulnerable. You don't quarantine healthy people. We've never done this before. People who are vulnerable can stay home. We're not forcing them to go out. And I think we can find that balance. It's not necessary to offer an iron fist to keep people doing what they're supposed to do. People will do what they need to do responsibly.
Jennifer Sevcik is joining me on the line. She is running for the House seat in Washington's 42nd district. Her website, SefzikTheNumber4House.com, S-E-F-Z-I-K, TheNumber4House.com, SefzikForHouse.com. Let's talk about the controversy right now with the Employment Security Department. The commissioner, Susie Levine, was in charge as we gave away hundreds of millions of dollars to a Nigerian crime ring. And up until this point, she's not taken any responsibility, neither has the governor, simply saying that they're outraged by the crooks. That's not breaking news. I suppose we're supposed to be outraged by the bad guys. What do you think should happen, though, at ESD?
Well, I think there needs to be an investigation. How did this happen? I think they recently upgraded the security system, yep. Spent $4.4 million to make sure that there were some fences around this. But it seems like there must have been a back door open somewhere, and they let the criminals in. So that's on them, and it should be investigated, and I think she needs to be fired.
So she should be fired. Now, obviously, he's not going to make that move. From a legislative
perspective,
yeah, he's not going to take any responsibility. He doesn't want anything to do with this. But from a legislative perspective, is there anything that could actually be done here?
You know, that's a good question, and probably there are people that might know the answer to that better than I would at this point.
But you are running, and you're going to do whatever you can if you're in a position of power to actually get her
out.
Who are you? Yes. People are wondering who you are. They, especially folks who are maybe just now getting more involved in politics, seeing what's happening with Governor Jay Inslee, and they're tuning in the area, and they say, you know what? She sounds interesting, but who the heck is she?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm someone who cares deeply about my community. I really do care about people. I love hearing their stories. One of my greatest strengths has always been pulling people together and moving in a positive direction to accomplish big things. And so I have been involved in sales and marketing and management. I've created business and service clients. I understand what it means to be innovative and be on top of your business. I've also been a part of training youth in our community. I've been a volunteer and helped young people learn how to debate and think and communicate it effectively, and that's been a great joy to be able to see lives changed and improved in that way. I really care about small business. I'm a champion for small businesses because of my background, and I've been doing stories on my Facebook page called Behind Closed Doors. So I've been listening very carefully to what people are going through and trying to make it known what's happening in their world right now.
So in a lot of ways, Whatcom County is changing pretty significantly from a demographic perspective. Obviously, you're running up against a Democrat who maybe in the past you wouldn't even assume would have what it takes to take a seat in the 42nd district. So how do you plan on bringing both sides together?
You know, I think it's a bit of a fluke that she won in 2018. As we know, on the national scene, there were some bad things happening. At that point, you know, we were looking at collusion with Russia, possibly by our president, and people were just did not show up to vote in 2018. People are engaged now. Mm-hmm. 2020, our people are going to show up. I think they're fed up with the current leadership that we're seeing in our state, and we are reaching out, talking to people, and there is definitely grassroots movement to vote Republican coming up in the fall.
Do you fear that the label of Republican, even in a you know 2020 election year, is going to hurt when there are a lot of folks who don't like President Trump and are going to be motivated to vote him out of office?
You know, I think on the ground, people do realize that local elections matter. There are a lot of local issues that affect us with our state representatives. But I think it's going to play in our favor both ways. Based on what I'm hearing, the people I'm talking to, I really believe that they're seeing the true colors of the different parties, and they're being more inclined to move in a direction where we have less government interference, less taxes, and we want our freedoms preserved. And so I think that's what they're going to be voting for, regardless of what's happening on the national level. But I still think that will play into it.
I'm hopeful along with you. I hope you win. I hope people take the opportunity to learn a little bit more about Jennifer Sefcik's campaign. Again, sefcikforhouse.com. S-E-F-Z-I-K, the number 4house.com. And of course, you can also follow her Facebook page. Just look up the name Jennifer Sefcik. Jennifer, thank you so much for stopping by. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really, really do appreciate it. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.